Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on strengthening India-US bilateral ties. The participants are Professor Swarn Singh, international relations expert, and Kalol Bhattacharjee, journalist.
Today we are discussing Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to the United States, where he met with the newly elected American President Donald Trump and his leading team members, including billionaire industrialist Elon Musk. While meeting President Trump of the United States, Prime Minister Modi recounted the warm memories of hosting President Trump in New Delhi and Gujarat in 2020. He also recollected the personal memories and recollections of his interactions with President Trump in various other global destinations during the first Trump presidency. Prime Minister Modi also raised the issue of bilateral trade and promised to take the strategic partnership between India and the United States to higher level.
Jab America aur Bharat saath milkar kaam karte hain, yani MAGA plus MIGA, tab ban jata hai mega partnership for prosperity. Aur yahi mega spirit hamare lakshyon ko naya scale और स्कोप देती है. फ्रेंड्स, हमने द्विपक्षीय व्यापार को 2030 तक दो गुना से भी अधिक बढ़ाकर $500 बिलियन तक पहुंचाने का लक्ष्य निर्धारित किया है.
India and the US also agreed that concrete action is needed to eliminate cross-border terrorism from Pakistan. Prime Minister Modi highlighted that concerted action is necessary to eradicate cross-border terrorism. In his interaction with Prime Minister Modi, President Donald Trump also criticized the cross-border terrorism and promised strong action against terror cells and sponsors of global terrorism. We are being joined by Professor Swaran Singh. My first question for you, Professor Singh, is the two leaders from the United States and India also discussed regional and global developments, most importantly, Ukraine and Bangladesh. What, according to you, is the likely outcome of the conversation that President Trump has held with President Putin of Russia yesterday? Your assessment of that conversation, and when do you think that this conversation will lead to a cessation of hostilities between Ukraine and Russia in the coming weeks?
Thank you, Kalol, for having me on your program. I think it's a kind of a new start that is being made from the United States compared to last President Joe Biden's strategy of having no connections, no communications whatsoever with President Putin and Russia, and spending all efforts in supporting Ukraine in fighting that war. Starting from his election speeches, Donald Trump had always said that he would directly contact with President Putin and he can stop that war within 24 hours, as he had said. And now his call with President Putin, I think, is a good start. And there is a possibility that this will contribute to the whole possibility of a potential ceasefire or even peace talks beginning. India, because you mentioned it, that this came up for discussion during Prime Minister Modi's visit to White House. India is clearly another important peacemaker in that process in Ukraine war. Indian Prime Minister have spoken to both President Zelensky and President Vladimir Putin more than once, in fact. And India is seen as a credible actor in that game. So now President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Modi sharing notes on how they assess that situation and how that war can finally come to an end is a recognition of India's global stature, which is way beyond just focusing on bilateral problems or bilateral issues. That is a good sign in that sense, that they were not just discussing bilateral issues of their India-US relationship. They also discussed what role India can play in the immediate region. So, for example, on Bangladesh, President Donald Trump clearly said that I will leave that to Prime Minister Modi to deal with that situation. And on Ukraine, he shared his own conversation with President Putin. That is the recognition of India's role at regional and global level. And I think that's a good sign from the United States.
President Trump also raised the issue of Bangladesh in his private conversation with Prime Minister Modi and the Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri later on briefed the media that Prime Minister Modi also expressed his concern about the developments in Bangladesh and hoped that the situation would normalize soon. What, according to you, is the likely global implication of the situation in Bangladesh, Professor Soren Singh?
I think, first of all, it is important to understand that Bangladesh, over the last 10 to 15 years, had come to be seen as a model of economic development in South Asia and also a democratic country which had elected Sheikh Hasina for 3 terms, and she had been there more than 15 years now in control of that country. And during that period, Bangladesh and India relations had really moved much forward, resolving boundary issue, building economic partnership and so on. And when India started working on BIMSTEC, which is Bay of Bengal Initiative for Technical and Economic Cooperation, that has secretariat in Bangladesh, then that was seen as India's effort to still become very active at regional level, even when SAARC, which is South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation summits, had stopped happening for now about 10 years. So Bangladesh had important role in bilateral terms, in terms of regional stability and development. And now this whole turmoil happening inside Bangladesh becomes a kind of an issue, not just for Bangladesh, but for the entire region in that sense. And President Trump, having that trust that India will be able to make a major contribution in ensuring stability and peaceful transition back to democracy, I think is an endorsement that there is enormous support to India as India has handled that situation, where a friendly country's prime minister needed space to go, a refuge immediately. And India agreed to that. India had very limited time to decide what to do. Of course, India has said it's not an asylum and that the prime minister will obviously go to wherever she wants to finally settle in life. So India has been very cautious. India has constantly been in conversation with both the political leadership there and the military leadership in Bangladesh. And Foreign Secretary recently visited there. So at various levels, effort from Indian side is being made that peace and stability and transition to democracy should happen as smoothly as possible. And the way President Trump endorsed India's approach to Bangladesh, I think, is a very good sign that the two leaders have a very good understanding with each other.
Professor Singh, what's your understanding of the mention of Pakistan in the India-US joint statement? And what does it really convey to the larger configuration of powers in the South Asian region?
If you would remember, Kalol, during the first term also, President Trump did not have very, let's say, friendly kind of imagination or relation with Pakistan. So once American exit from Afghanistan has happened, then the relevance of Pakistan for United States is no longer there. And definitely the Pakistanis believe now, and I was reading some media there, that President Trump is looking at Pakistan from India lens now. And India has constantly been at the forefront of problem of terrorism from early 1990s. And Pakistan has been repeatedly projected as a breeding ground for terrorism. And in that sense, now terrorism becomes a bigger problem. And of course, also the link with China trying to build that China-Pakistan economic corridor, trying to get Afghanistan, Russia, Iran into that if possible, is something that also adds on to American concerns about Pakistan in that sense. So yes, Pakistanis today think that America is beginning to look at Pakistan from India's lens. And in that sense, I assume they have to worry a little bit now. And their experience during the first term of President Trump was also not very nice. And in that sense, Pakistan should perhaps set its house in order, because it must begin talks with India. And India has said terror and talks will not go together. So they have to really do something substantial in addressing issues of terrorism so that they can make sure that South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation comes back on rails. And that should also reduce their dependence on China in that sense.
Professor Singh, we saw during the last 3 years since the Ukraine war started in February 2022, the Biden administration as well as the government of Ukraine criticized India very strongly for having energy ties with Russia, which in fact prospered in the last 3 years. Now the question is, as President Trump has opened up to President Putin in Russia, what sort of impact will it have on India's relation with Russia, especially India's defense relation with Russia, as President Trump also wishes India to become a major buyer of American defense equipment, including the most advanced aircraft that it has produced, the F-35 fighter jet. Do you think India will have to cut back on its military ties with Russia to accommodate some of the demands that are coming from President Trump on the military front?
Kalol, already Russia used to be, or Soviet Union earlier, used to be supplier for almost 2/3 of India's total defense imports. In last 15-20 years, it has already gone down from 66-67% to 44-45% of India's total defense imports from around the world. This period has seen India building very strong partnerships with countries like France, countries like Israel, also United States. And United States, which is world's largest exporter of defense equipment, nearly 1/4 of the entire global exports, 25% of global exports come from United States. Now, President Trump really sees that as a great opportunity for United States, exploring opportunities to supply more and more defense equipment to India. And if India begins to get access to most advanced technologies, you mentioned F-35, there's a conversation on drones already going on, there's possibility of Seahawk or Apache helicopters, and then Globemaster transport aircraft and so on. So if India starts procuring advanced technologies for defense preparedness from United States, then that means that share of the big pie will be reduced as far as Russia is concerned. That's going to be automatically. India cannot continue to buy just for the sake of buying from Russia. But more interesting now is Trump's reinforcement of expanding fossil fuel production, gas and oil in the United States. And as he said in this meeting and in press conference, he wants to see United States also becoming number one supplier for India's gas and oil.
The Prime Minister and I also reached an important agreement on energy that will restore the United States as a leading supplier of oil and gas to India.
Plus, of course, they want to work on small modular reactors together, which is again something which I think will build some partnership there. We'll see that finally American reactors coming to India. So there is already a nuanced kind of approach that United States has had on India. And this is going to only make relations now much more stronger and better.
One last question from me, Professor Singh, is about the quadrilateral. What is your assessment of the future of Quad now that President Trump is back? Do you think he is going to be as strong on Indo-Pacific and China as perhaps would help India? Or do you think he is going to go slightly soft on that?
Clearly, Kalol, as we saw during the first term of President Trump, he is very much focused on being part and parcel of Indo-Pacific geopolitics. And he sees India as a operational and logistic partner in reinforcing that kind of presence in Indo-Pacific geopolitics. Several documents relating to the Indo-Pacific framework, Indo-Pacific strategy were issued during that first term. Now again, soon after the swearing-in of President Trump, Secretary of State nominated Marco Rubio had the first meeting with Quad foreign ministers. He, of course, had a bilateral meeting with Indian foreign minister as well. So in that sense, Quad is going to be an important focus area for United States once again, which also means that for United States, as it happened during President Joe Biden's period, Russia is no longer going to be number one challenge. It's China. I think the focus is shifting to China being the number one challenge, which will again see that India's relevance for America is really coming up front as important. And we'll see India really playing its own role. Of course, India has said very clearly it wouldn't like to see Indo-Pacific region militarized, so or becoming exclusive club of few nations, as Prime Minister has said in his speeches, starting from Shangri-La Dialogue of 2017. Later in August 2022, Foreign Minister had made a similar outline at Thailand's Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok. So I think there is going to be little variations possible. We saw that variation was there last time also, when you saw Mike Pompeo's speeches were slightly different than Indian foreign ministers. But we will fine-tune, I'm sure, those kind of minor variations. Clearly for America now, Indo-Pacific remains a focus area, China remains a concern, which again reinforces the need for partnership with India. And India, of course, has its own reasons to enjoy and build that partnership with the United States.
Thank you so much, Professor Singh, for joining Spotlight on Akashvani. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on strengthening India-US bilateral ties. The participants were Professor Swarn Singh, international relations expert, and Kalol Bhattacharji, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.